Welcome to Heralding the Truth, the radio ministry of Russell Road Church in Sydney, Ohio, where our vision is to build a people established in God's Word, advancing His kingdom, a body of believers endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We appreciate you joining us this morning for this dynamic and life-changing Word. Here now is our senior pastor, Fred Gillenwater, with today's message.
The truth be told for the saving of souls.
James chapter 3, we're going to look at verses 1 through 12. My brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment. For we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle the whole body. Indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we run and we turn their whole body. Look also at ships. Although they are so large and are driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder wherever the pilot desires. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature. And it is set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird or reptile and creature of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives, or grapevine bear figs? Thus, no spring yields both salt water and fresh. That is the question today. Who are you? That is a question we need to understand. We need to know who we are, because our words really will bring about who we are, what we say. Remember, life and death, what? Are in the what? The power of the tongue. Remember the word power? The word power means what? Direction, custody, and hand. So, life and death are in the what? The direction of the tongue. In other words, your tongue is giving your life direction. Life and death are in the custody of the tongue. You hold things custody in your life until you release it with your tongue. It won't manifest. It can't manifest. So it's in the custody of your tongue. It's in the hand. Your tongue is an extension of your body. It's like a hand. I shared last week that I can come up here with my hands and rearrange this whole platform. Well, I can do that with words as well. So your words rearrange things just like a hand. I call India and I tell them what I want. I get over there and it's just the way I wanted it, because my words went to work. Remember, the words that you release are on an assignment, and they won't stop until it's manifested. So we have to be aware of what we say. You are where you are today in life because of the words you have spoken. We can't blame other people and everybody else for where we are today. Where we are today has come from our very own mouth. That's pretty heavy, isn't it? What you say, out of the heart, the mouth speaks, right? Out of the heart flows the issues of life. What you say is guiding your life. So today, who are you? Remember, we talked about Job 22, and we talked about how it says, you will declare a thing, decree a thing, and it will be established for you. Light will shine on your ways. Job 22:28. The Amplified Bible says it this way: you shall also decide and declare a thing, and it shall be established for you, and the light of God's favor shall shine upon your ways. So you declare it, God will establish it, and put his favor and blessing and grace on your life to accomplish it. If you don't say it, God can't establish it. So we have to say it. We have to speak it. We have to declare it. All right? Now, God is a spirit, remember? And it says we must worship him in spirit and truth. We're created in the image of God. We are spiritual beings. Our Christian faith begins with words. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. It begins with our confession. Let the redeemed of the Lord, what? Say so. Let the poor say, I am what? Rich, right? We say it. We have to say it. All right. Now, the most powerful opinion you have is the opinion of yourself. God cannot establish something until you decree it. Keep saying what God's word says until you see it manifest in your life. Go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and we're going to look at verse 9. For I am the least of the apostles. Paul was saying, I'm the least of the apostles. Now, and he wrote 13 books of the New Testament. Now he's saying, I'm the least of the apostles. You know why? Because he was saying that because he used to kill Christians. He killed probably more Christians than most people. Now, for I am the least of the apostles, who am not worthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. Verse 10. But, everybody say, but. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace toward me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me. He said, I am what I am by the grace of God. And that's the way it is for you, and that's the way it is for me. I am what I am by the grace of God. Now, I am, when you say I am means you know who you are. When you declare I am, you're declaring you know who you are. You have a robust sense of self-awareness. When you say I am, you remove and eliminate confusion, uncertainty from your life. When you say I am, you blow away the fog of doubt, ambiguity, insecurity. There is a certainty and finality about you saying, I am. There is a confidence in saying, I am. You are saying to other people, you may call me whatever you want to call me, but I am what I am by the grace of God. That's good news. I am in situations, in circumstances may come my way, overwhelming circumstances may come. I may not have a job yet. I may be out of resources for the moment, but I am what I am. I may find there's no food in the cupboards, but I am what I am. I may go through hell and high water. Everything that holds you back in life, everything that restricts you, you are limited by in life. It finds its root in a lie about who you are. Everything that holds you back and is keeping you from becoming what God created you to be holds you back because it's a lie. It's a mendacious lie sent from the enemy. Get a hold of this. As a believer, you are going to be confronted and attacked on many fronts in life. But the greatest assaults on a child of God is going to be concerning your identity. We know and hear a lot about identity theft today. You've all heard about identity theft. All right, now think about this. Through technology, people can get in and deal with your identity. And it's called identity theft. Remember in Ephesians 6, 10 and 11, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, that you may be able to stand against all the wiles of the devil. Remember the word wiles is the word Greek word methodia, and it means organized strategies and technical procedures designed to handle a subject. The devil is organized, and he uses technology, and he's going to handle your life through those areas. Through being organized and through technology, he can handle your life. And he'll use whatever he can to get in and steal your identity, to keep you from knowing who you are. That is huge. Jesus in the wilderness said, in the wilderness when he was tempted, what did the devil say to him? If you are the Son of God. He tried to get him to question who he was. Now, in the garden, when the snake came in and attacked and spoke and attacked Eve and told her if she would eat from the tree of the forbidden fruit, she would be like God. She would be like God. Now watch this. The Bible says that she was already created in the image of God, created in the image and likeness of God. She was already like God. But he came in and got her to question who she was. Now, he undermined her identity. When that happens, we become vulnerable and open to suggestions from the enemy. The moment you embrace any lies or doubts about who you are, by the grace of God, I am what I am. When you doubt and embrace who you are, other than who God says you are opening yourself up to major attacks from the enemy. You have to know that you are who you are by the grace of God. Jesus told the authorities who were accusing him and questioning him about who he was, "Don't you know I have the authority to take your life?" Herod and the other governors told him. Jesus said, "You wouldn't have any authority unless it came from my Father." So you, when you understand who you are, you're not going to be intimidated, bluffed, patronized, pushed around. When you actually know who you are, no one can dictate to you who you are. You know who you are. Are you with me? And I'm going to tell you something. In this age that we're living in, as believers, we need to know who we are. If you are not careful, you open yourself up to the attack of the enemy. When you listen to what he has to say about your identity, the enemy will always throw circumstances your way that will cast doubt. If he can't make you doubt about who you really are, he will try to keep you in the dark about your identity. If you begin to find out who God says you really are, he will do his best to get you to doubt who you really are. Because the enemy is afraid of what you might do and what you might become. If you ever find out who you really are in Christ, some of you are actually going to be dangerous. Huh? Some of you are going to be dangerous. Boy, wouldn't that be exciting? We need some dangerous Christians around here, don't we? I tell you what, we've made Christianity this subculture where, you know, we just going to, you know, we're going to hang around just people that were safe, and, you know, we're not going to get too involved in anything, and we're not going to speak too loud about it, and, you know, we're going to just read Christian books and go to the Christian store, go to the Christian school, and go to this Christian that, and, oh, we're just going to, I'm going to tell you something. Being safe, you know what? That's not the greatest thing. Folks, we got to get out of this idea of being safe. I'm going to tell you what. This is not a safe church. When you come here, you've just threw safety out. It's exciting. It ought to be exciting. The Christian life is an exciting life. It's not about being safe. Gag me. I was at the ball game the other night. And I tell you what, and Daryl Smith, where's he at? Okay, one of the most exciting plays of the night was he stole from second to third base. And he got out. But at least he gave it his best. Are you with me? Man, I said, you go, Daryl. I mean, you got to take a risk, right? If we're not willing to take risk, we're not going to go anywhere when it comes to doing God's will. Am I making sense? This thing about safe is empty. You know, the funeral home's safe, right? That's boring. It's not boring to be a Christian. It's exciting. Are you with me? All right. If you're looking for safety, you might be in the wrong place. It's time to get a life. Because life is not about being safe. Jesus wasn't always looking for safety. Jesus was on an adventure. And if we're following him, it's going to be an adventure. Now, the enemy is afraid of your true identity. When God wants to use somebody, he first gives them a revelation of who they are. God goes to a coward named Gideon. He goes to a coward named Gideon, and Gideon was hiding in a wine press. That was a small area at the time. He was hiding in a wine press, and the Lord says to him, "Oh, mighty man of valor." What's so mighty? Valor? That's like this great warrior. What's such great warrior shaking in the wine press, scared to death? Now that's what God called him. You see? Now watch this. Look at this. There was nothing courageous or valiant about what Gideon was doing. But God understands that Gideon is more than what he believes about himself. There's more to that man than meets the eye. And God saw in Gideon who he really was. When God speaks about him, he speaks and spoke about what he made him to be. And that's the way it is about us. When God speaks to us through his word, it's about what he has made us to be. What he has ordained you to do in your future. Not where you are at the moment. Did you get that? Not where you are at the moment. Your authority is always connected to your identity. You can't walk in full authority of who you are until you know who you are. Until you know who you are. Without the revelation, you will draw back. You will be intimidated, fearful, vulnerable to anything the world or the enemy throws at you. You will become passive, compliant. If a man knows who he is, you can put him in prison. He will still walk in his authority. He can drive a brand new $100,000 Lexus, or he can ride a bicycle, or he can walk. If he knows who he is, he's going somewhere. Are you with me today? There is an authority about who you are as believers. Too many believers rely too much on counseling and going to counselors. Folks, we need counselors and we need counseling. I go to a counselor. I go to a therapist. Yeah, y'all say, well, you need some of that. Well, I do. I have to check myself. You understand? Because this is a lot of responsibility. And so I go and I listen, but they're not dictating to me who I am. I'm just going there to receive and continue on in who I am. They're not telling me who I am, right? Because, folks, if you allow other people to tell you who you are, you're going to look like a bowl of granola, remember? You're not going to know if you're a nut, a fruit, or a flake, because you're going to be confused, because they don't really know you. God knows you, and he created you. He knows everything about you. Are you who your mother says you are? Are you who your ex-wife says you are? Are you who your ex-husband says you are? You will have no authority until you know who you are. Until you know who you are. When you know who you are, it can't be taken away. That's why it says in Psalms 51, verse 5 and 6, it talks about God desires truth in our most inward parts. And then it says, and he will make you to know wisdom. Inward parts, the word inward parts, those words are taken from the word intima. Intima. Intima means intimacy. Intimacy. So I have intimacy with God. See, now I have intimacy with God. God desires truth in our most inward parts. Now, since I'm intimate with God, he's given me the truth on who I am. And now I'm becoming the authentic me.
right? The word authentic means real. I'm becoming true and authentic. So I'm becoming authentic. And now since I'm going to God, remember, He's the author and the finisher of my faith. I'm becoming authentic because I'm going to the author on my life. And now I'm going to the author. Now I have authority. Now I have authority because I have been authorized to walk in the kingdom of God. Am I making sense? That's the way it works. That's the way it works. Because when you know who you are, you're going to walk in the kingdom of God. And you are going to be authorized and you're going to have authority. If you don't know who you are, somebody else is going to be dictating you and taking you on a rabbit trail somewhere you don't want to go. Am I making sense? You're going to end up in a place and wonder how you got there. Now listen to this. Go with me to Acts 19 real quick. Verse 13. Then some of the itinerant Jewish exorcists took it upon themselves to call the name of the Lord, to call on the name of the Lord Jesus over those who had evil spirits, saying, "We exorcise you by the Jesus whom Paul preaches." And there were seven sons of Sceva, a Jewish chief priest, who did so. Now, these seven sons said to the spirit, "We're exercising in the name of Jesus who Paul preaches over you." Now look what the spirit said back to the seven sons. And the evil spirit answered and said, "Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but what?" Look at your neighbor and say, "Who are you?" You see, because they did not have any authority. They weren't in communion with the author of life. They had no authority. And you know what? That's the way it is in your life. People will come, people will call and speak into your life. And if you're not in relationship with God and walking in that authority, you're going to end up doing what they say. And their words are going to have power in your life. You're not going to have authority. If we are going to do anything in life, we have to answer this question: who are you? You may not be asked that question openly and outwardly, but it will come to you through circumstances, crises, and through opportunities. You will constantly be challenged. Most people derive their identity from their background, their experience, from their achievements, or their lack of, or the things they possess. The problem with that is those things are fragile and you can lose them. You can lose your health. You can lose your possessions. You can lose your title and you can lose your self-esteem. When self-esteem comes into question, now you have a big problem because your confidence was in what you had or what you achieved. That's the wrong place for your confidence to be. It should only be in who you are in Christ. Now, I remember when I came to this church and there was 10 people. And I've seen people who come here and connect and I've seen them change. That is rewarding to see that. To see God's word working and bringing change in a person's life. And you know, we were talking about being at the hospital the other night with Christina and Dwayne. And Tony's all right with this because he's testified about this. He came here and his wife, Connie, had come here and started coming here and really began to experience some change in her life. Well, he thought she had a boyfriend here. Because she'd come home smiling and happy all the time. He said, "Man, she's found a boyfriend." He was going to work telling him, "You know, she's got a boyfriend. I'm going to go find out what's going on over at that church." He was telling me this in the hospital the other night. And I'm just, tell me some more. And, you know, it's like, and now and he came here and got saved. And his whole life is changing. Because he's tapping into his true identity. He's just tickled pink about being a grandfather. You know, he's just excited. He's got a job. I mean, everything's starting to work for him. It's clicking for him. You know, he was so excited about this grandbaby. It was just a blessing to be sitting there in the room listening to him share what was in his heart. You see, that would never come unless he discovered who he was. You see that? Come on, am I making sense? Now, there are going to be days you are out of resources and things might not work out the way you expected them. But that doesn't change who you are. You are still who you are by the grace of God. I am what I am. Everybody say that again. I am what I am by the grace of God. Many people look to other people to tell them who they are. If you allow others to define you, you will always come up short of your true identity. You shouldn't let your culture, your race, your gender dictate to you who you are. Only God has the right to say who you are. Only God has the right to say who you are. There's three things how people try to define you. Number one, people will always be confused about who you are. People will always be confused about who you are. They may have heard something about you from some other twit, and they don't even really know you. You can live a week or you can live a lifetime with someone and not even know them. I'm here to say amen to that. People will define you based on their perception of you. Jesus said to Peter in Matthew's gospel, who do men say that I am? And Peter he said, John the Baptist. They think you're John the Baptist. They may have heard him speak or, you know, he speaks with authority. Well, he's like John the Baptist. They may have seen him do miracles. He's like Elijah. Well, no, he's Jeremiah. No, there are a lot of opinions about who Jesus was, right? That's the idea. You see, Peter didn't know. People don't know because they don't know you. Based on their finite perception of him, they tried to describe who he was, and they didn't know him because they didn't know who he really was. People can meet you on one day and say, well, hey, you're a nice guy. You're a nice person. And someone else might say, well, you know, I was talking to them, and he seems kind of mean or upset about something. And then someone else will meet you and say, you know, you're not all that. You're not that bad. They said you were this and that. You're not really what they said. You don't know me, right? I don't know you. People will always be confused about who you really are. So we got to get rid of this idea of allowing people to define who we are. Number two, people will always underestimate you. People will always underestimate you because they will define you based on your past. Your SAT scores are based on what they know about you or based on what you did that they know about you or what you have achieved. But they don't realize that what is on the inside of you is much more than they have seen you do. What you are capable of is a lot bigger than what you have already done. Ephesians 3:20, now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think. Now, I wonder who has underestimated you. Who has underestimated you that you're listening to?
Please tune in again next Sunday for the remainder of today's message.
Only the truth and truthfulness can save us now. Only the truth and truthfulness can save us.
You have been listening to Heralding the Truth, the radio ministry of Russell Road Church in Sydney, Ohio. Our church office and 7 p.m. Saturday evening worship services are held at 340 West Russell Road. Our 10:30 a.m. Sunday service is held at Christian Academy School, located at 2151 West Russell Road. If we can be of help to you, you may contact us at 937-492-6412 or visit us on the web at www.russellroadchurch.com. We end today's broadcast with these words from the Apostle Paul. Be complete, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you.